Glad you saved today.
Amen.
I was thinking just a few moments ago when the brother was having an episode here, having to stall for a few minutes. When I pastored a few years ago, and I did pastor 7 years, seven is God's number of completion and perfection, and I knew I was done. We would go to the nursing home once a month to have service out there, and we went one Sunday afternoon to have a service, and there was a little lady there running around in a wheelchair, and she loved to play the piano, and she would be playing the piano most of the time when we got there. When we would go in, our church pianist would go over and kind of move her to the side and get her attention, and she would play the piano, we'd sing a few songs, and then I'd preach. And once we got through with our singing, I opened the Bible and began to read the text that I was going to preach from that day. That little lady went back to the piano, and she started to play. It was quiet at the beginning, but she got a little louder. And along in about 2 or 3 minutes, there was another older lady sitting to the side that looked over to her and said, "What's the matter, you crazy?" Try that sometime when you're trying to preach. Thank God that he's still in control. I'm glad when I got up this morning, I didn't have to look around to see who was in charge. To see if something had happened during the night, to see if God was somewhere off taking a break or a vacation. But I'm glad the same God that spoke this world into existence is still the same God today. I really hate that I had to miss last night. We were asked to do a program down at the television station last night in honor of a dear friend of ours who's been a great blessing to us. I didn't mind doing that, but I really minded missing the service last night. And the whole time we were there, I was wishing I was here, so I guess I didn't do too good over there. But I appreciate this church, appreciate Brother Ray, and I appreciate the people of this church who take it upon their heart to have this meeting so that we can come and enjoy the fellowship of God and his people. I appreciate their kindness, and I appreciate all that they do that this might be possible. But I know it's because of him. He who loved us and gave himself for us is the reason that we all do whatever we do. I'd like you to look for me, with me, please, to Daniel chapter number 3. Book of Daniel chapter number 3. We've heard much already about the I know God. That I know that I know that I know God. We've heard much about his power, about his preeminence. We've heard much about his sovereignty. Here were some boys that had no doubt. Here were some fellows that made no qualms about it. They didn't have to have a committee meeting to find out what to do. They knew that God was in charge. Daniel chapter 3, I want to begin reading verse number 14, where the word of God said, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I like that answer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will, notice, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd bless the word of God to our hearts. I pray, God, you'd make us to be an instrument of righteousness, a vessel unto honor unto Jesus this hour. I know, Lord, that within my own ability, my own knowledge, my own way, I can't do what needs to be done. But I'm glad, God, you can. You're the God that is still able. You're the God that has all power and all authority. And we know that whatever you do, it's always good. And we can trust you to do what's best for all of us. And we ask you now, you'll touch hearts and lives and make us to be a blessing. And I pray, God, that your will be accomplished. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. It's upon my heart to give you a few simple thoughts from this. I believe I'll just go with God. I believe that's the answer that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were telling King Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't trying to be haughty. They weren't trying to be hateful. They were just firm in their convictions that there was only one true and living God. How many of you know today there's just one true and living God? He's not a God of imagination. He's not a God of idol. He's not a man-made created being. He is the one true and living God. The Creator God, the Almighty God, the Sovereign God, the Everlasting to Everlasting God, the God who was, who is, and forever shall be God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that already settled in their heart and in their mind. They knew that there was no other, that what was taking place there was a setup job. Amen. It was a setup job. And what they had in their mind was they wasn't going to be a part of a setup situation because it had already been established, it had already been confirmed, it had already been made sure and given them the assurance in their heart that they knew who God was and that he would take care of them. How many of you know today he's going to take care of his own? Hallelujah. I'm glad that... I know the State of Union message was given last night. I thank God I didn't get to see it. Amen. Because I know what the state of the Union is. It's waxing worse and worse all the time. The reason I know that is because the Word of God declares to me that that's the way it's going to be until Jesus comes back. It's going to wax worse and worse. And the State of the Union given by somebody who obvious to me, and knows nothing about what's going on. Makes no difference. I'm glad I know. I've read the end of the book, and we do win. I'm glad that July 22nd, 1964, on a Wednesday morning, I got placed over on the winning side. You see, before then, I was lost and undone and on my way to a devil's hell with nothing I could do about it. But Jesus came by where I was, and he spoke to my heart, and he drew me unto him. And the Spirit of God drew me over to where he was, and he picked me up out of my sin and out of the miry clay, set my feet on a solid rock, established my goings in him. Save me for all eternity. Put me on that narrow road that leadeth unto everlasting life. And I don't have to worry about getting off of it. He put me on it. I can't get off if I wanted to. Amen. According to the Word of God, according to the Spirit of God, I am eternally saved. A part of the family of God. and I'm glad my God is still in control. I believe I'll go with that God. I believe I'll go with the God who always has been, always will be God. I'm not going with one that's made up in man's imagination. I'm not going with one that is made out of man's hands. I'm not going with one that's being set up. No matter how many they try to set up for us today. Well, how did we get to this point? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Well, first off, we see a dedication service that is declared. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It's obvious it's a setup job. Whether you realize it or not, whether it's dawned on you and it's really come into your thoughts or not, we, the people of this country, are being set up. We who claim to know Christ, we who claim to be Christians walking in faith unto God, following the dictates of the Word of God, having convictions and having ideas of what this Word of God has to say to our heart and the way that we ought to live, we are being set up. Other gods are being promoted. Other ways of religion are being promoted. Other things are being set up round about us to draw our minds, to draw our attention, to get our grandkids, to get our children, to get our neighbor's kids involved in something that is not God at all, that will be set up as an image that everybody can belong to. Amen. A world religion that everybody can be involved in, that everybody can be at peace with. As long as they do it their way. Amen. We're being set up. Our government and everything about it is being changed. And with one swift move of the pen, the Declaration of Independence of the United States will be done away with. And they have a plan already in effect that it looks like that this country is going to be divided up into 4 quadrants and given over to somebody else to rule. The problem with that is the God that set up the beginning is still going to be in charge at the ending. Amen. No matter what the imagination of man, no matter what kind of idols they try to set up, our God's still God. And they can't change that. Nobody else will ever usurp authority over him. He will have the final say-so. It will be according to the word of God. It'll be done. Glory to God. You can sit there if you want to. It will be done according to the word of God, and it's going to come to pass just like he said. I'm going to go with that God. Not one that's been set up. Not one that people have to dedicate themselves to. Amen. You know, we probably shouldn't get too upset about a dedication service. We've done it ever since Baptists have been born, I reckon. I mean, we bring babies and dedicate them to God. We dedicate pews to folks. And, oh, yeah, well, yeah. Every now and then we'll have to, some kind of goings on where we want to refurbish everything, so we'll buy new pews, and somebody buys one, they donate the money to buy a pew, so we put a little plaque on the end of the pew dedicating it to them, or a window somewhere, or a chandelier, or a light, or something else to be dedicated in somebody else's memory. And a lot of that's okay. I appreciate how good folks have been, and I appreciate them being willing to do for the church and wanting to do for the church and that kind of thing, but Don't let it become your personal property. Amen. several years ago, I was a member of a church where we built a new building, had all new pews, new carpet, and all this stuff. And folks from ways off wanted to help, and so they paid for a pew. So they put a little plaque on the end of the pew. And ever so often, they would come to visit in the church service, and they would sit down in that pew and dare anybody else to. Amen. When you give it to God, it belongs to God. It don't belong to you anymore. When you pay your tithe, you don't give it, you pay your tithe. When you pay your tithe, when you give your offering, it doesn't belong to you anymore. Amen. Pastors, I'm trying to help you here. It does not belong to you anymore, and so it's given unto God, and let God get the glory out of it. Because he's not going to share his glory with anybody. We couldn't be too upset with a dedication service. We've been doing that as long as Baptists have been Baptist. And the reason I can talk about Baptists is because I are one. I was Baptist before I was born. Yeah, the reason I was is because Mom and Daddy was. They took me to church 9 months before I was born. And I appreciate the fact that I was born and raised in a Baptist church. Amen? I believe in the Baptist doctrine. If I wasn't a Baptist, I'd probably be ashamed. Because that's the way I believe, and that's the way I believe the Bible teaches us to believe and to follow God. But dedicating yourself unto being a Baptist won't get the job done. Dedicating yourself unto Jesus and unto the glory of God and giving yourself without reservation unto him who loved you and gave himself for you. We see the dedication service. The herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now we've gone from a dedication service to a declaration. It is declared unto you. It is commanded of you. And all these people that have authority and all these people that have leadership in their vocabulary, that they do what they're commanded to do. It is declared. You will do it. May I tell you today that whatever is most important to you, you will see to it. Let that sink in just a little bit. Some of you went right on by, but whatever is most important to you, you will see to it. That means if your billfold, your pocketbook, is the most important thing that you have, you will see to it. If that F-150 Ford four-wheel drive is your most important treasure, you will see to it. Some of you are getting this, some of you ain't liking it, but it's all right. Whatever is most important to you, you will be dedicated to it. You will declare some way and somehow in your life, you will place that first and you will take care of that first. May I go on record to tell you today that if anything is more important to you than Jesus, if anything is more important to you than serving God, if anything is more important to you than loving the Lord and being what he would have you to be, that has become your God. Amen. That has become your God. It's important for us that we put right things first. That we be dedicated in declaring the glory of God. One thing I really love about this meeting is just like what happened here this morning as the man stood and declared, I'm glad that I know Jesus. I'm glad that he's mine and I'm his. I'm glad that I have the opportunity to gather together with like believers in the house of God to worship him and to honor him and to praise him because he means more to me than anything else does. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he's mine. I'm his today. I was absolutely nothing on my way to hell when he found me. I remember the day I got saved by the grace of God. I had on a pair of tennis shoes that cost 50 cents. And had on a pair of ragged blue jeans. I didn't have but two pair. Amen. I didn't have but two pair. Mom and Dad lived poor. Not poor, we were poor. I remember growing up when I lived in a little sawmill village and a little old house that when it snowed on the end of my bed because it came through the wall. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not asking for your sympathy about that because those days are past and gone. I've been blessed and God's taken care of me and God's been good to me. And I glory, hallelujah. God's been good to me. And I'm glad that he saved me and he made me a part of the family of God. It's not the riches that I have here that mean the most to me. It's the riches that he's given me in Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm an heir and a joint heir, hallelujah, with all that God has. He's my father and he's promised he will take care of me. That Wednesday morning when I got saved, I had holes in my britches and I didn't run out to the department store and pay $150 for that pair of blue jeans either. Under God, that don't make a lick of sense to me. I mean, when they got tore up so bad, Mom said, we're getting a new pair of pants, what we're doing. Now folks go out to the department store, pay $150 for a pair of blue jeans that's already been washed and got holes in it. Duh. I wanted to do what was best, and I still want in my heart to wear what's best, that God might be pleased, that he might be honored, that he might be glorified. It's not whether I fit into this society or to this world or not that's any importance. It's important that the world knows I fit into his plan. They declared, everybody, every one of you that have any power, any authority, you have any position, when they play the music, you fall down and worship. Well, that worked for everybody except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. They wasn't at the party. And when the music began to play, they didn't have to listen to it. Some of you ain't getting this. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. But there were some Chaldeans that came near and accused the Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. That's how we got into this situation. They said, you know them old boys that you brought up here out of Babylon, that you've elevated and brought them into authority in your cabinet and your government? They didn't take your orders. They didn't do like the rest of us. Amen. When the music played, they wasn't anywhere to be found. They didn't dance to your music. May I go on record again to tell you there's some music that's being played out there you don't need to dance to? There's some music that's being played among Baptistum, if that's a word, that you and I don't need to dance to. They tell us nowadays that you got to do away with that old King James Bible and get you one of these new perversions so that the young people will be brought in and they'll be able to do their thing.
that you got to do away with the old-time hymns and the songbooks that we've learned to love so much from our heart, and bring in this new contemporary praise and worship kind of music that God ain't in. Amen. The devil ain't liking this, but I don't like him either. There's some music that's being played out there that says if you want to have a church and get it established and grow it, that you've got to modernize and compromise, and you've got to let people come as they are so they can leave worse than when they came. There's some music you and I don't need to dance to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already had it established. They already had it set in their heart. They wasn't going to dance to any tune other than God's. And we come down here, and Nebuchadnezzar, he's mad. And in his rage, he brings them in. But he calms down enough to say, now, boys, look, I got all this together, and it's been told to me that you wasn't at my party. You wasn't at my dedication service. When the Babylonian Beach Boys began to play, you didn't dance. But now, I tell you what we'll do. We'll set this thing up again. And we'll get that group back together. We'll get them Babylonian Beach Boys back together and bring all them sheriffs and counselors and all them people back. And next time that the music starts to play, if you won't be so old-fashioned, and if you won't be so stuck in the mud, and if you won't be so narrow-minded. Amen. And if you won't be such a problem. If you'll bow down and worship like everybody else, well, we'll just let bygones be bygones, and we'll forget about that other time, and we'll just go on. They said, King, we don't mean to be hateful. We don't mean to be haughty. We don't mean to be a problem to you. We don't even have to talk about it. We don't have to discuss it. We don't have to get a committee meeting together. We don't have to have a deacon board vote on it. We don't need a steering committee. We've already got it established. We're not going to worship any other god. We're not going to bow down to any other god. We're not going to change our convictions. We're not going to change what God has already established in our heart. We're not going to go by any other book. We're just going to go with God. We're not careful to answer you about this. It's already established in our heart, in our spirit, in our mind. It's already sealed. It's already settled. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. We know that he can. And we know that he will deliver us out of your hand. Because we don't belong to you. You may have brought us up out of Babylon in captivity to be a part of this, but we don't belong to you. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased with the blood of Calvary. We are a part of the family of God, and we belong to him. We are his property, and we're going to serve him. Be it known unto thee, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Oh, then Nebuchadnezzar flew mad again. He said, go ahead, boys, heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it wants to be. Bring me the biggest, strongest men we got. Bind these fellas up, these problem makers, these old-time religionists. Bring them, bind them up, and throw them in. They did. They bound them up.
tied them up good, put all their clothes on them, even their hose, but fixed them up till they couldn't hardly move. They opened up the door and they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down into the fiery furnace. Fire was so hot that it even killed the big, strong men that threw them in. In a little while, just a few minutes, after they got the mess cleaned up, some of you got that. After they got the other mess cleaned up, Nebuchadnezzar walked back over and he looked in and he said, excuse me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did we not cast three men into the fire? Yes, sir, that's exactly what we did. He said, then why do I see four loose, unhurt, walking around, acting like they're having a good time down in there? And that fourth one looks like the Son of God. Now, how was it that that wicked king looked into that fiery furnace, recognized Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, them loose and having a spell down in that furnace? And he saw the other one and he said, he looked like the Son of God. Now, how did that wicked king know that was the Son of God? You ever get a glimpse of him? You just get one good look at him and you'll know exactly who he is, because there's nobody else like him. There's not, glory to God, there's none to be compared to him. He said, open that door, turn that thing down and get them out of there. They pulled him out. He said, how do you explain this? They said, you know that God we were telling you about? He's still God. He's still God. Not that image you've got set up down there in the plain of Dura. But our God is still God. And he always will be God. You see, that God that you've got out there in the plain of Dura, he ain't no God at all. He's an image that you had set up. You see, he's a God that can be melted. Your men melted him and poured him together and formed him the way you wanted it. He's 9 by 90. He's a big old thing and he's sitting out there in the plain of Europe so everybody could see him. But he could be melted. We knew he wasn't any God at all because he wasn't able to stand the heat. How'd you like to serve a God that couldn't stand the heat? Just as sure as you needed him, he'd be melted and run out in a puddle somewhere. How would you like to trust in a God that is only the imagination of somebody's mind? A Buddhist priest said there was a God in the moon. Muhammad studied him and looked at him and called him Allah. Made him his God that he worshiped. No more than a man in the moon. No God at all. Amen. Now, not only can he be melted, but he can be moved. You set him up on a wagon and hauled him down there. Your God is an image that can be moved. I'm glad the God I know and the God I serve is still in the same residence that he's always been. He's not going to be moved. Peg McCamey and I were talking the other night, and she gave me this testimony. She said that every time anybody asked her to pray about something, she wrote it down on a piece of paper, wrote their name and what the need was. She said a couple of weeks ago, she got down on her knees and she was trying to bring all those people and all their needs to God. And she said it broke my heart so that it touched me so that I didn't have the words to say. And she said, I said, oh God, I'm overwhelmed at all these needs and all these problems and all these difficulties. And she said, he said, I'm not. Whoopee! I'm not. He said, I'm not overwhelmed. I know what they're going through. I know everything there is to know about them. I see them. Their steps are carved in the palm of my hand. I know everything there is to know about them, and I love them, and I care about them. And I can, and I will help them. The only thing that moves our God is a cry from his child. Jesus was asleep in the boat when the storm was going on. And all the disciples saw that the boat was filling full of water, and they thought that just any minute now, they're going to drown. So they ran over and they shook him and said, Lord, careth not that we perish. And he raised up and he said, shh, be still. And the waves laid down like whipped puppies, and the wind stopped blowing, and the storm was over. He wasn't concerned. You see, he knew the boat couldn't go down. He was on board. If Jesus is on board, your boat's not going down. It may take on a whole lot of water, and it may get a whole lot of difficulty, and there may be some times that you look like and think that it's not going to make it through, but if Jesus is on board, you're going to make it through. But when his child cried unto him, he said, shh, be still. He can make the storms in your life be still just by thinking of it. And he will if you'll take it to him with a broken heart. I said, not only can he be melted, but he can be moved. And by the way, they had moved him down there into the plain of Dura so that it would be in plain sight. That was the only place that all these people could get a look at him. No matter where they came from, that was the only place that they could put him that everybody that was involved could get a look at him. You see, if they'd have placed him over on the mountain, there would have been some that couldn't have seen him. If they'd have placed him down in the valley somewhere, there would have been some of them that couldn't have seen him and couldn't got to him. May I report to you that my God, I've seen him in the valley, and I've seen him on the mountain. Matter of fact, I've seen him in the dark. When I couldn't see where it was going on, when I didn't understand, when I couldn't comprehend, there was nothing that he didn't know about. He's been through the fight. He's been through the flood. He's been through the fire. And he came out without a scratch. He's still the same God. He has not changed. They said, we don't want a God that's been moved and melted. We want to serve the one true and living God that delivered us out of your hands. He hath delivered us out of your hands. And by the way, and I close right here. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he saw the three men, and he recognized them. And he called the other one the fourth man in the fire. But when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in, he was the first man. Whoop!
He wasn't the fourth man in the fire. He was there to welcome them when they got in. He was already the first man in the fire. If he's not the first man in the fire that you get to, your goose is cooked. If he's not already in that position of when the heat comes against you and the world comes against you and the troubles and the heartaches and the burdens get to where you are, if he's not already there, it's too late. And I'm glad he's my first man. Somebody said, what happened? They took three of them out. What happened to that fourth man? He's still in there. You know why? Because he knew I'd be a coming along. And he knew you would be a coming along. And there would be some situations and some heartaches and some burdens and some trials that were going to throw you into the furnace. And so he's got the promise already set up for you that he'll be there. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way even unto the end. No matter what you may be facing, I'll face it with you and I'll take it. Come cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The fourth man is my first man. And I'm sure glad that he is. Brother Ray.